morning about this great hymn by Horatio Spafford. Sorry about that. And the Spaffords had lost a home and everything they had in the Chicago fire. Forgetting the circumstances, they'd come back and forth from London to Chicago and on a ship. And he happened to be in Chicago when the family was coming back, the three girls and the mom was coming back overseas. And a big storm came up, and the three girls were actually lost at sea. And the wife made it and wired him and said, the girls have not made it. And so when he was coming back across, he asked the captain, whereabouts did they drown? Where did we lose them? And showed him, and he wrote this great hymn, at least this first verse of this great hymn of "It Is Well With My Soul." That no matter what's happening, no matter what's taking place, I have this certainty in Christ that He is enough, that He is God, that it is well with my soul. You know, in a lot of ways, that's what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. When we've been looking at our text in John chapter 20, there's a few verses here that we've been looking at, and to be honest with you, a few weeks ago, I thought we'd be finished with this verses 19 through 23. And so I want to read that to you in light of this song, this great song that we've heard the praise team sing. Chapter 20, verse 19, "So when it was evening on that day," that's the first day of the week, that is the day that Jesus has risen from the dead, "when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained.'" We've been talking about these resurrected words of Christ 2,000 years ago and what they mean for you and me. And we've been looking at this first phrase, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you. And if you remember a few weeks ago, I tried to get through the whole passage or through the whole message of peace and just didn't get there. Just couldn't get there. And as you've noticed, we've kind of broken it down. Last week, we talked about peace with God. In order for you to have peace in your heart, peace in your mind, you must have peace with God. Peace be with you is this statement that we're talking about that shows the breadth, that shows the depth, that shows the length of what God's peace means when it comes upon you. In our text here, in our context here on this passage of Scripture, the disciples are scared to death. They're fearing the Jews. They're shut in. It's dark. The doors are locked. And they're scared. They're frightened. There is a lack of peace in their hearts and in their minds at this particular moment. As we've talked before, this is not the first time the disciples have been fearful. It's not the first time that they've been scared. We saw a couple of weeks ago, or even last week, about 2 weeks ago, when they were in the boat and the waves were crashing around them in the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is asleep in the boat. And they challenge his character. They challenge whether or not he really cares for them. You know, this is not the first time. But they're scared. And listen, when you're walking in fear and when you're walking in anxiety and worry and stress, I'm convinced you need to hear these words. Peace be with you. But those words cannot mean anything unless Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is in you. There must be peace with God. When man fell, there was a division, and that division was between God and man. And God, for thousands of years, was making plans to send Jesus so that he could come and heal that fracture between man and God. When he talks to the Ephesians, as we saw last week, he said that Jesus came proclaiming peace and giving peace. And that when you responded in one moment, you found peace with God. You were once separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the covenant of promise. You had no hope without God in this world. You were far off, but no more. The finished work of Christ, the finished work of Calvary took care of that. When Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead. He took care of the chaos. He took care of the separation. He took care of being far off. He, in one moment, said that I'm taking you, man, and I'm taking your hand, and I'm taking God's hand, and by that cross, I'm bringing you together to heal the fracture. To heal it. Every one of us in this life who have searched for things other than Christ and you found Christ, you realize that that's who you've been looking for all of your lives. It's Jesus. He came, he preached peace, and he gave peace. Now, we live in an age and we live in a day, and I'm going to tell you, it's nothing new from the first century or from the very first time man fell. We live in a day filled with anxiety. I mean, you just look at people who are anxious, fearful, worried, depressed, on meds. You see it over and over and over in people's lives where there's no peace. And I'm saying that, listen, if you want the peace of mind and the peace of heart that the scripture speaks of, Jesus has to come and breach the wall, rescue you, and bring you to God. Or you can't have peace of mind. It may be momentary. It may be up one day, down the next. But I want to tell you, in Christ Jesus, you can have the peace of God in your heart and in your mind. Not just because you're not just having peace with God forever and eternity. You know what I'm saying? This is not, listen, we don't have to wait for heaven to have peace of heart and peace of mind. Peace with God is what we looked at last week. Now, I want to stop here for a moment, and I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, because this is where we're headed. I mean, when he speaks, peace be with you, to a fearful man, he's going to say in verse 21, peace be with you. He's going to say it again, and then he's going to say, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. I'm going to do something so significant in your life that I'm not the only peacemaker in heaven and on earth. I'm calling you, church, as the peacemakers of God to make peace, to broker peace, to bring peace where there's chaos, to bring peace where there's hardship, to bring peace where people are just nervous wrecks. I'm going to do that for you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. As the Father sent me. And listen, that's another breadth that we're going to look at and length of that. I mean, when you think about how Jesus was sent, and then he would say, just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Listen, that gives me such a peace about my future and about my purpose. That I have the purpose of God in my life. That Jesus 2,000 years ago stepped from heaven. God sent him. And then all of a sudden he's saying to these disciples who are scared to death, locked in this room, as the Father has sent me, I'm going to send you. And it doesn't stop. Century after century after century. It's the same thing. He gives you peace. Yes, to have peace with God, but also to be a peacemaker, a peace broker. And you look at this passage in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I told you to turn there, but I haven't, okay? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Notice what he says. He says, verse 16, therefore from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him. We know him in this way no longer. I want to stop here for a moment and just let you know what I've been thinking about this passage of scripture. We recognize no one according to the flesh. This will change your life, but how you see people. When you begin to look past the flesh and look at God's intention for them from all eternity, and that was to be made in the image of God, to reflect the glory of God. Listen, it'll change it in you in such a way that you won't be critical. You won't be judgmental. But when you recognize people according to the flesh, all kinds of things come up in your mind, and you want to talk about something that'll bring chaos to you and no peace. But listen, what if we began to look at people not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit, and to see the great potential in their hearts and lives if Jesus is in their life, to see their life as God intended it to be, to see a people, to see a guy, to see a woman, to see a family. Listen, they were intended to walk by the Spirit and to see the fruit of the Spirit come out of their lives. Why can't I have that kind of vision for every single person that comes my way? And I'm talking not only that comes your way physically, but comes your way. They'll come your way by TV. They'll come by your way by news. They'll come your way by all kinds of ways. Why can't we just no longer recognize people according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God, of what God has done in their lives or what God has intended for them? I'm going to tell you, that'll drive away any critical spirit, judgmental hearts, because you're no longer looking at people the way you think you ought to be looking at them. You're looking at them through the lens of Jesus. You're looking at them through the lens of the Spirit of God. You're looking at them through the lens of love. For the love of God, that's what you're doing. And you're refusing to go the gossip route. You're refusing to go the judgment route. You're refusing to go that way. Now listen, I know there's scriptures that speak of church discipline and rebuke and those kinds of things. And I'm not negating that. I'm just saying, let's start looking at people the way God wants to see them. Recognizing them no longer according to the flesh. If any man is in Christ, verse 17, he's a new creature. The old things pass away, behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, now watch, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen, as the Father sent me, I send you. Listen, I'm giving you this ministry of reconciliation. Listen, he just didn't give it to the pastor, didn't give it to the apostle, didn't give it just to the missionary, didn't give it to the teacher. He gave it to every last one of us, the ministry of reconciliation. If you've been reconciled to Christ, you have a ministry of reconciliation. And you know, because of the peace of God in our heart, we are positioned and equipped to be some of the best reconcilers that history has ever known. I believe that with all my heart. There are people in your life that need the reconciliation ministry of God with God. They need reconciliation with their spouse. They need reconciliation with their parents. They need reconciliation with friends. They need reconciliation with the church of the living God. And you have the ministry of reconciliation. That's where we're headed. But listen, if you don't have peace with God, And then you don't have peace in yourself, in your life, how can you offer the peace of God to other people? So what we want to talk about in this moment is peace with yourself through God. That God comes along and he makes peace with you so that you might have peace in your heart, in your mind, that no matter what's happening in your life, that you can experience it. And I attempted 2-3 weeks ago to look at this passage of scripture in Philippians chapter 4 and to talk about peace with self. So the title of this portion of this message is Anxious for Nothing, Peace in Everything. Because if you have peace with God through Christ, by a relationship with him, by which you know he has saved you, you know he's delivered you, and he's your Lord and he's your Savior in you, then listen, you have the ability and the power in your life to go the rest of your life, being anxious for nothing. So I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to tackle this passage of scripture until we close this message. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. A great, great passage. I'm going to read the whole piece here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit or your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is near. Now be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's anything, any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about the passage. First, there's three foundational keys for peace in everything. Three foundational principles. And we find it in verse 4, okay, and verse 5, before you even get to the anxiety piece. And there's three things here that God calls us to. These three things are imperatives. That means, in the Greek language, it means start doing this. If you're not doing it, start doing it and keep on doing it. Okay? That's what an imperative is. I used to say it's a command, and people, I don't like that word. Well, guess what? It's a command. Okay? It's an imperative. All right? Your flesh doesn't like command. Okay? We can go, I can chase a rabbit here, but I don't have time. Amen. Here's the imperative. I got to read it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Is that right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm going to say it. Rejoice. Start rejoicing in Him. And be found rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the word rejoice means to be glad, to be calmly happy, well off. It means to be well. And as you look at this imperative and you see it saying to you, listen, I want you to be glad, watch this, in me. Okay. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not once in a while. Not 50%, not 70%, not 90%, not 95%, not 99%, but 100% of the time. That's what always means. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'm telling you, rejoice. Two things, two imperatives, two very important things that kind of paves the way to see anxiety crushed, to see anxiety attacked, instead of having anxiety attacks. It's attacked. I rejoice. It's a default. It's a default to say, listen, no matter what's happening in my life that usually brings anxiety, I'm going to quit looking at the temporal right now, and I'm going to look up at the eternal, because He is eternal in the heavens. He is Jesus. I'm going to rejoice in Him because, listen, He's been raised from the dead, right? He sits at the right hand of God. And do you know what He's doing at the right hand of God? He's praying for you. He's interceding for you right now. So when the hardship is on, when the lack seems to never end, when the desperation is in your heart, when those circumstances that are surrounding you seem so uncertain, or maybe in your mind or by another man or woman's mouth, it is certain, we look up. We don't look down. We don't keep looking at the circumstance. We look to Jesus and we rejoice in Him. Now, I can tell you this right now. There's a ton of things to rejoice in the Lord about. And the moment that you begin to do that, the moment you begin to heed the imperative of this word to rejoice, and I say there's a ton of things to rejoice, listen, you can start ticking them off in your mind. Just tick, 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 tick. I've got so much to be thankful for, so much to rejoice in. You know, I have the salvation of God. I may be struggling a little bit with some health issues, but overall, I'm healthy. There's always something that I can look to and believe to rejoice in the Lord. No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter, I can rejoice in the Lord. Why can I do that? Because I'm going to say this, because the Holy Spirit, the living God, would never, ever, ever ask you or put an imperative on you that you cannot ever keep. If he said, rejoice in the Lord always, and it's an imperative, that means if you're in Christ, you can do it, and you can start doing it right now. Listen, you may be struggling, you may be worried, there might be circumstances that are bringing anxiety, but let me tell you, there is something special about a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who begins to praise God in the midst of the pain, in the midst of it. We just sang this man's song, Mr. Spafford's song. We sang it, and he wrote it in a great upheaval of his life, having lost everything in the Chicago Fire, now having lost the three girls, and it's just him and his wife. And yet, what does he do? He chooses to write a hymn and sing a hymn to God that says, God, there's sea billows rolling. It is hard. It is difficult. I'm mourning here. But I'm going to tell you, God, it is well with my soul. I rejoice in you. I rejoice in you. You know, I'm often tempted just to say, no, this is how I do it. I don't want to do that today. I'm asking that the Holy Spirit, the living God, would come and speak to you in such a way that says, hey, why don't you try it this way? Why don't you just default to it and think through the things that God's doing, that he's done, that's been so great that I can rejoice in him over right now, right here. So this is what's happened. I'm going through the trial. I'm going through the struggle, and it hurts. It struggles. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 1, really, really quick here. James chapter 1, verse 1. This great passage of Scripture that speaks of reasons why we can rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 2, chapter 1, says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind. And that man ought not to expect that he should receive anything from God, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now listen to what he says. He says, listen, when you go through the trial, count it all joy. Why? Because God is doing something so much greater than you can ever imagine. He is doing something so good according to his will, and that good, he just says it so that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And in that endurance, listen, you're becoming like the one, Jesus Christ, who endured to the end. Let me say what he says. How do you endure the end? He says this, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I rejoice because of what God is doing and how he's going to work this trial and this struggle out. Why do I know that? Because he said it. That's how I know it. He said that he'd work this out. And so instead of complaining, and instead of grumbling, and instead of being angry, and instead of being unforgiving, and instead of defaulting to all those things that don't work in your soul, it just brings more chaos. Instead of going that way, I'll just say, God, I rejoice in you. I praise you in this. I praise you for this. I bless you that you are working and you're at work, and I can trust you that you're going to finish this off. Now, let me tell you, when that happens, your relationships with others changes. We talked about this briefly. I'll say just one more time. He says, listen, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Let your gentleness be known to all men. It's almost like I'm fit to be tied one moment, and then the next moment I'm rejoicing him, and the calm begins to come in my heart. It comes in my life, and everybody gets to see the gentleness of my life. Gentleness. I'm responding in gentleness to other people We talked about a meekness that is really a powerful person, but he's a powerful person under control. We use it in the terms of a horse that's been trained. Let my gentle spirit, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. I look at a gentleness and a meekness and a mildness that says, God, you're in control of this. And therefore, I don't have to fight it. I don't have to press hard against it. All I got to do is lean into it and trust you. So everybody sees the peace that's beginning to form in my life. A gentle spirit. The three foundational things. He says, listen, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He says, let your gentleness be known to all men. And then he says this, the Lord is near. Listen, you have to have a confidence to know that God's in your presence. You're in his presence. And you know what you need to also understand is that you have a belief that he is coming and he is coming soon. That's what the Lord is near means. He's here, it's a place, and it's a position. It's used for having God so near that you have immediate access to him. But it also means that God's coming. He's coming soon. His coming is near. And it fills us with expectation of God coming to me right now, right here, but also speaking to the consummation of the ages. Do you all believe we're living in the end times? Yes, we all believe that. If you're living in times, it means the Lord's near. He's coming. He's coming to make it right. But guess what? The Lord is here right now, making it right in your soul and in your heart and your mind. These are three foundational principles that are so very important to position you so that when trials come, so that when things are happening, taking place, you become anxious for nothing, but you have peace about everything. You have peace about everything. You know, this whole thought in verse 6 that speaks of being anxious for nothing. The word anxious in the Greek language means this. It means it's a distracting care, okay? A distracting care. Now, I like that because, let me tell you, it's important to care about things. It's important to be concerned. So when I care about something and I've got something going on, I've got to care. I've got a concern. But I never let it go over the lip or over the edge of anxiety. I mean, I don't want to. I'm not saying I've done it. But I don't want to let it move to the next place, a distracting care. I care about what's happening in my life. I care about this going on in my kids' lives. I care about what's going on in the country. There's a care about and concern about that. I'm telling you, listen to me. I'm not saying get rid of those concerns. Those concerns drive us to be the peacemakers that God calls us to be, filled by the Holy Spirit that we're going to see in a few weeks. Yeah, keep being concerned, but don't let it distract you from the main thing. And anxiety and worry and stress, all those things distract you from the main great thing, and that's living a life that glorifies God right now, right here. So we have this next command. Be anxious for nothing. Walk in anxiety about nothing. In other words, it says, listen, I'm giving you this imperative that not only says that you're able to do it, you can do it. I think there's a confidence that says we will. We will become a people that are anxious for nothing. You just say, well, you don't understand. No, I don't understand. But you didn't understand what I was going through when I was going with what I was going through. Right? Right? No, I'm not telling you I understand. I'm just saying this is what the Word of God says. You've lost your job, be anxious for nothing. You've got a pitfall going on in your marriage, be anxious for nothing. Oh, care about it, be concerned about it, begin to do the things you need to be doing, but don't walk in anxiety over it. Be anxious for nothing, but have a peace about everything. Why? Because we know what God's up to. We know. We've been taught it. We know. You know, I heard somebody say one time, he was in church one day, and this praise leader got up and said, how do y'all feel? And he said, I thought to myself, I don't want to know how you feel. I want to know what you know. I think of that because, you know, it spoke to me because so often we live by what we feel instead of by what we know. And you know that he works all things out for your good. And that good is conforming you into his image to become like him in every form, in every fashion. You know. Man, you know, how do you feel? Well, what do we know today? We know these things. We understand them. We've been taught them. And so to be anxious for nothing, he says, listen, quit it. Just stop walking in this anxiety. You know, what are some of the things that people are anxious about today? You know, we're talking about this in staff on Wednesday. And, you know, I kind of put it down to three things. There's this peace about everything that we're talking about, being anxious for nothing. God wants you to have peace about your past. He wants you to have peace about right now. And he wants you to have peace about your future. You know that? I mean, can you think about that? I mean, how many people you know, and maybe you're one of them, that's so anxious about your past? The past stuff you walked in, the past junk that was over you, the past sins, the past mistakes, the past failures. And people worry about that. People in Christ, where he forgave it all. He forgave it all. And I don't have to be anxious about that. I don't have to walk in anxiety about how I lived once, because it's no longer that way. I'm no longer in that season. I'm in a new season. I love what Psalm 103 says. Listen, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits. He's the God who pardons all your iniquities. He's pardoned them. He's thrown them as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. You quit remembering them. You quit letting the enemy bring it back up to think that you don't have anything to offer God. That you're somehow disqualified because you did that. Let me tell you, God will tell you and me who's qualified. Quit worrying about your past. There's some of you today, some of us, we worry about right now. You know what God says, Jesus says, or one of the, quit worrying about right now. Quit worrying about it. Listen, I know, quit worrying. Turn to Matthew, if you would. Matthew chapter 6, yeah. And notice what he says about right now. You know, Jesus is pretty, really, really good, right, at really targeting the things in our lives that need to be targeted. Verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life. As to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they don't sow, they don't reap, nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe all the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. And if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear for clothing? Listen. The Gentiles, the world, they eagerly seek all these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So you just seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So quit worrying. And this is the other thought is we worry about our future. Quit worrying about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know what I see in Scripture? I see the God who is present in your life. And if you know that he's present, why would I ever have to worry or be anxious about anything? Can I be concerned? Yes. But wringing my hands in desperation? No. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about your past, your present, future. I think I've come to this place in my life that I'd see happening. It's not perfect. It's sometimes I don't even see it, but most of the time I'm seeing it now, is coming to this place that I just want to enjoy God right now, right here. A right now, right here. To enjoy Him. To enjoy who's before me. If it's my spouse, if it's my kids, if it's my grandkids, if it's you, if it's an appointment, God, I want to be here. I want to be present. And if I'm worried about what's going to happen in the next appointment or what's going to happen tomorrow or something going on, what am I to you? And what am I to God? Especially if I want to be a peacemaker. Right now, right here. To find peace right now, right here, whenever right now, right here is. I want to tell you, that's why I believe when he says, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let me tell you what I believe prayer is. I believe prayer is a two-way conversation with God, and it's ongoing. I don't think that prayer is just getting in my prayer closet and praying an hour and forgetting about it. Or 15 minutes or 10 and forgetting about it. No, it is an ongoing conversation with God. It's God speaking into my heart and it's me speaking to Him. And so He says, listen, but in prayer, and then He says supplication, and that's petition. Those are the things, the petitions that you have before God. Supplication is when you pray individual, specific things you're asking God to do. You ask Him. I love, when you've heard me say this before, what someone told me once. Hey, just tell God what you want. I didn't like it at first. But I thought of scriptures like, God gives you the desires of your heart. Now, I think about things in my life today that I had as desires as a child and forgot about them and woke up one day and realized that God had given them to me. He gave me the desires of my heart. Wonderful marriage. Kids. I didn't forget about those, but wonderful marriage, kids, I wanted grandkids. I remember at 18 years old asking God, desire my heart, I don't want to pastor hungry people. I can't tell you when I'm preaching and I can catch it, sometimes I don't. Someone told me about it one time, but he says, when you say turn it, do you hear all the pages turning? Do you hear it all? So that's one of the things I've heard one of the first times I ever visited Cottonwood, that everybody's pages, and then when you closed out, the zippers started zipping all over the place. And I remember that God gave me a desire in my heart, people who want to move on with God, hungry for things of God. Desires of my heart. So what's wrong with having desires of your heart, as long as they're not evil, right? Let your requests be made known to God. Petition Him with thanksgiving. Three important elements of a great request. Prayer, which I'm already doing. Petition, because I believe God can do these things, what I'm asking God to do. And then with thanksgiving. God, I thank you. I thank you for, I thank you for, I thank you for. And make it a habit. And here's the result. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I said it a few weeks ago. Peace, the sentry soldier that guards the north, south, and east, and west of your heart and your mind. Guarding your heart, peace. And this is what he says about it. It surpasses all understanding. In other words, when you step back, you think, oh, how in the world am I walking in peace in this? How in the world can you have such peace when things are going on in your life? It's the peace that surpasses all comprehension, all understanding. And this is what he says about it. It will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what this does. This positions you to be the reconciler and the peacemaker that God wants you to be in this life. gifted you for that. Now I'm going to ask a question. What are you anxious about? Think about it right now. Bow with me in prayer. Just think about it right now. What have you been so anxious about? Rejoice in the Lord right now. Take three things in your mind right now that will get your mind off of your what you're anxious about, and now rejoice in Him. Rejoice in Him. Lord, I thank You for Your blood. I thank You for Your amazing grace. We sang about that today. What are you doing? You're turning your eyes on Jesus? I rejoice, Lord. I rejoice in You. And God, when I walk out of here, I want to walk in gentleness. Because I believe You're near. You're right here. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I choose to no longer be anxious about this. I choose no longer to be anxious about my past, what's going on right now, about what's supposed to happen tomorrow or not. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I choose by an act of my will, by the power of the Spirit of God, to rejoice and declare Your presence. Now, I just want to ask you to do this right now. Would you go on and ask God to do what you'd like to see God do, if it's not evil? God, I would love for You, I would love to see You do this in this situation. Go on, just ask Him. Go on, ask Him right now. And Lord, while we're here, we ask for grace and we ask for mercy right now for whatever's going on in my heart, my mind, or my circumstances. Now thank Him. Start it with rejoicing, end with thanking. Lord, I thank You for this. I don't like it. It's hard. It's difficult. But I want to thank You for it and rejoice in it because of who You are and what You're doing. God, I can see past in my past life, and I can see how You worked things out when I was so anxious and so worried, and how You came along and made it straight. So I thank You today. I thank You. And I choose to walk in this peace because I know I'm going to find somebody that needs the peace of Jesus. And I don't want to be a nervous wreck. I want to be really aware right now, right here, so I can tell them about Your peace right now, right here. In Jesus' name, amen. Her name was Geneva Matthews. She's one of the first, one of the ladies in her church, Geneva and Blackie. Okay. Longtime members of Cottonwood when we came. And I had visited her one day, and she was having really, really a struggle with some things going on. And we talked about this very passage of Scripture. And I remember as a teenager and into my early 20s, by the time I met Geneva, it was in my mid-20s and later 20s. But I remember I would take this verse of Scripture and I memorized it. And whenever I had anxiety, I would quote it. And it just never seemed to really move me. I mean, it just didn't move me from a new place. But I would memorize the word. And it's good to memorize it. That's what we talked about earlier. But I would just memorize it and I'd speak what I memorized. And I'd speak it and I'd speak it and I'd speak it. And one day I really do feel like God's told me, will you quit quoting it and start doing it? Does that make sense? Would that be what God would say? Will you quit quoting that verse and start doing it? Well, thank you. By the power of God, do it. Don't be afraid of the word, do it. Don't be afraid of the work. Because the works in Christ are faith with legs. That's what they are. Faith with legs. And I just love that thought. Do it. And so we talked about that years ago. And I said, you know, I want to just give you a little exercise. Whenever this thing comes back on you, will you just raise your hands forward and say, God, I receive this peace. I received this peace. 3 years later, she's saying, do you remember when we had that conversation? I said, yeah. She said, do you know that every time that I put my palms up and ask God and say, God, I receive your peace, do you know what happens? That peace comes. Thank you for sharing that with me 3 years ago. Lord, I receive your peace. And may this peace rest upon you. May it guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. May you find the things to rejoice in, to triumph in, to sing victory over, because it's all over you. It's all in our lives. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to rejoice with. Listen, God is near. May the Holy Spirit of God, tap on your shoulder, your back, your forehead sometimes, and say, I'm here. May you hear God say, I'm here. I'm here right now, right here. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Let it be known. Be anxious for nothing, but have peace in everything, because that's his gift to you and to me. Now, go read these verses sometime this week and apply them to your life by just doing it in the name of Jesus. Is that all right? All right. Will you stand with me right now? And Grigsby's are going to be coming right here in the hallway. Y'all make sure you visit with them if you don't know them. I know they're just really blessed by today, and we've been blessed by it as well. Just really, really grateful. All right, I'm going to ask you to...